Hi, I'm Richie Swan, and this is Harriet Jeffries, also known as the Gym Bird, and we're two of Liverpool's leading personal trainers.
This is our podcast, A Girl and a Gay in the Gym. It's a how-to guide of all things dieting and fitness. This isn't your normal boring fitness stuff, though. We're going to tell you how it is, no bullshit.
So, if you're easily offended or you think it's okay to carry on stuffing your face and still look like a Victoria's Secret model, you may as well just switch off right now.
And if anyone's actually still listening, here we go. Happy New Year, everyone. We're coming to you from our dinner break in my kitchen in a very cold, cold Liverpool. And this is our first ever podcast.
It's January, start of the new year. And this week, it's going to be New Year, New You.
So here's a little summary of everything we're going to talk about today.
Okay, so what we're going to go through today, to begin with, clearing out the cupboards.
Finding a starting point, knowing where you're going from.
And then we're going to explain to you what SMART goals actually are.
How to track your progress.
How important it is to have a support network.
And be fucking patient, babe.
Have a little patience.
All right, so point number one is clearing out your cupboards. Did you know, honey, that 2/3 of people are on a diet all the time, or most of the time?
Doesn't surprise me.
My grandma Jean has been on the Weight Watchers since I was 4, and I'm nearly 30, and she's only ever got bigger, God love her. And she's never once cleared out them cupboards. She hasn't.
Bet you the doors don't close.
She loves chalky biscuits.
You're probably sat there listening to us now because you need to change.
You feel like shit.
It's been a long December, you've overindulged, you've drank, you've eaten, you're feeling fat. And not PH fat, like F, big capital F, fat. So, what have you done to kickstart for you, Harriet?
So, I think one of my major things is binning the chocolate, the Christmas chockies, the nuts, or like the little bits and bobs that you have around the house. It sounds like almost a waste. You don't necessarily have to bin it, but get it out your house. My advice would be pick someone that you really can't bear and give it all to them. And then they'll put the weight on, babe, not you.
Why does everyone bring it into our gym? It's like the local drop-off point for chocolate, isn't it?
You think,
oh, they train all the time. Needless to they know, we're sat there doing fuck all.
My mate gave me a wheel of cheese yesterday. I didn't know why.
A wheel of cheese.
No, it's true though. And do you know what? It's not even just food. It's fucking bevvies as well.
Yeah.
Get those bevvies out of your house. The gin, the Prosecco, everything. Get rid of it.
Okay, so cupboards are empty. What are we bringing in to replace this?
I would say go fresh. As much fresh things as you can. Try not to get anything pre-prep for you. So no ready meals or anything like that. Unless it's something that's counted. Like the Marxies count on us kinds of things. I get them sometimes. But I'd say get loads of fresh fruit and veg. Get loads of water in. If you have a big sugar craving, get something that's going to help you beat that. And we'll go through that in later episodes.
As a little starting point, now you've got rid of all the crap. There are little things that you can have. If you do have that sweet craving that are going to help you get through it. So like little fibre one bars, less than 100 calories, aren't they?
Halo Top ice cream.
Oh, Halo Top. Well, it's what? A quarter of what's in a Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, so you can have four.
No, you cannot have four. Harriet.
Was that why I was fat?
But also stuff like Joe, them one cal jellies. Have you seen
amazing.
Them?
Amazing.
Yeah, like less than 10 calories in it, isn't it?
Yeah, there's fuck all in them. And my personal favourite, which loads of people will kick off that have said, but I love it, Diet Coke.
Oh, love you it. Do love it, Diet Coke. Babe. See, mine's just water, babe.
Oh, fuck off.
I think if you, honestly, it gets rid of your hunger cravings if you can drink. Increase your water if you don't have a lot. I probably have about 3 litres a day.
Bet you piss like a racehorse.
People say the more you drink, the more you shrink.
That's not necessarily true. Sometimes if you don't move that much through the day, or if you've got quite a sedentary lifestyle, you might not need as much water as someone that, say, rides the bike to work, goes to work all day, has a dead active job, then comes home. It's all based on what your body is. So just because, you know, Kerry from Slimmer's World has 4 litres of water a day and has lost 3 stone. That doesn't necessarily mean that that works for you. So up your water if you don't think you drink enough. But between 2 and 3 litres is more than enough a day for most people.
Okay, so your cupboards are cleared out. We've increased our water. Point two, your starting point. Like I said to Millie yesterday, Millie's my client, sorry if you're listening. If you want to be more Victoria's Secret and less Victoria Sponge, this is what we do.
Starting point, what does that actually mean? For me, it would mean taking some pictures, taking some nudes. So getting your knickers and bra, stand in front of a long mirror, or if you've got someone that you trust to take them for you, get them to take them for you, because you're less likely to be able to take them at an angle. We all know that if you put the camera higher, you look a bit thinner. Yeah. So get someone to take a picture of you straight on, or do it yourself. You want a picture from the front, a picture from the side, and ideally one from the back, especially girls, so that you can see your cellulite change in the back of your legs and your bum lifting.
And measurements, I find, help as well. Your bum, your waist. It's just good to have a good starting point of everything, isn't it? How you look right now, what your measurements are and what your weight is, and then we can start tracking them every week.
How often would you suggest to track them? Every single week?
With my clients, I weigh every week because we train at the same time, and then we'll do our measurements and photos probably every 8 weeks it is. So I'm probably going to offend a few people here, but you've got to be honest as well. You see a lot of PTs who put before and after pictures up and they're like, before, don't have a tan, breathe out, let's do it in a dully lit room so you can't see any definition, and then your transformation picture is in a better light, breathing in just after training. So I think it should be realistic. You have the set and the same for the before and the after.
I was trying to say wear the same outfit.
Yeah, definitely wear the same outfit, same angle, everything.
Yeah, don't want to wear that flattening pair of leggings. Yeah. Wear the fucking show leggings, babe.
Like your before after is in a hipsters, and then your afters, you've got your Spanx on.
Tanga brief. The only thing I'd say is, especially for girls, through your menstrual cycle, I don't know about you, but I bloat something fucking wicked. So I would say, usually, if my clients are due on, I always allow for a little bit of bloating or allow for something. So usually I wouldn't do away when someone's due on. I'd give them like a day or two into the period when it starts to going down. Are you due on? He's always due on.
I've got clients, they probably put £4 or £5 on the week that you want.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, and it messes with the head. And it's like, when we know that you want, like you said, just don't weigh them.
No, you become very unstable at the best of times when you do one. So stepping on a scale is not going to do you no fucking favours, my
unstable,
love.
Unstable, I've got a few of my clients must be due on every week, I'm telling you.
Terrible unstable.
52 periods a year. We now all know our starting point. So we're going to go into point three, which is knowing what SMART goals are. So it stands for specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time.
Okay, so specific. Specific-wise, you need to think or pick a goal that's specific to exactly what you want to do. So, okay, you might want to lose weight. How much weight do you want to lose? You know, you might want to change your body. In what way do you want to change your body? Do you want to change your body fat? Or
it's like everyone, how many times do you get when someone comes in and wants to talk about what they want to achieve, and they go, I want to get fit. Everyone says, I want to get fit.
I want to lose weight and turn up. What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah. What is get fit to you? Because one person, it's getting up a flight of stairs. To someone else, it's getting over a sickness. Someone else, it's running a marathon. So everyone, getting fit is just not specific enough.
When I started my own little fat loss journey a couple of years ago, I've lost about four and a half stone now, I think, about. No, mama was big. My goal was specific in a different way. I didn't actually set myself the goal of a certain weight or a certain dress size or something like that. I took pictures of myself and then I looked at the picture of the back of my legs and they were that riddled with cellulite. I was like, my fucking goal was to get rid of that cellulite.
Really? Was that your wake up call?
Yeah, because it knocked me sick. Yeah. I couldn't bear it.
You've got your specific goal. Now we need to be able to measure it, yeah? So you're measurable.
So you can measure it in all the ways we said at the start, really. You can measure it in terms of, like, checking your hips and checking your waist and checking your weight and doing your pictures every 8 weeks. But how else could you measure it? So you might go for a run around the block. You might measure it by the next time you do it, you did it 30 seconds faster. Or you could go to a class and be fucked 3 minutes in and then go to the same class 2 weeks later and be able to get half an hour in. It could be measured in any way. So don't necessarily think it's got to be a number on a scale, because it doesn't. It comes in all different shapes and sizes and all different ways that you can do it.
Yeah, well, that leads on to being achievable, which is point three. So it's like, if you've got a weight loss goal and someone goes, I want to lose 5 stone by the end of the month, you're not going to be able to measure that and it's not achievable. So we need to be realistic.
I've got a client who has come to me at the start of December, you know, National Faff Fuck Month of the year, and has come in and said, right, so by Christmas Day, I'm going to lose a stone. So in 24 days, she wanted to lose 14 pounds of body fat. With a healthy weight loss being £1, £1.5 a week, it's unrealistic. That's not achievable when you've got that much temptation. Be realistic about what's going on through the month, how much you've got on. You know, you don't know what's going to come up. And if you've got plans and you've got meals out and nights out, you need to be realistic about, is that, you know, are you going to achieve that goal? Go small and go short goals, weekly ones opposed to like bigger, you know, over the course of a year.
It's funny you talk about that, like a healthy weight loss goal, because I remember when I was doing my group PT, I had a girl who had lost £3 in a week, which to me, that's a massive loss and a success.
Oh my God, yeah.
And she was devastated. It literally ruined her whole day because she'd been really well, eating well, and she had an unrealistic expectation of how much weight can be lost in a week. Like, if anyone's there now and you've got your phone to hand, Google what £1 of body fat looks like. And if you haven't, it's literally over a handful, and it's like a mound, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, if you imagine like a tin of beans or a tin of tomatoes, it's about the same size as
huge,
a tin.
Yeah. So I literally had to sit down with her and go through this and show her pictures and be like, babe, stop being an absolute crank, because what you've achieved is actually great. So people need to have a clear image in the red that you're not going to be able to go over 2-3 pounds really a week.
It's not safe.
No.
And it's not realistic, and you're not going to keep it off.
No, babe. No, babe.
All right, so the last part of your SMART goals is time. So the best thing to do is give yourself small and short goals and give yourself a time scale, give yourself a date. I got married this year, so that was my leading up. I had this set date that I had to, you know, reach a certain goal for, or it could be a holiday that's coming up, it could be a night out, it could be a party where, you know, you're going to bump into your gobshite ex-boyfriend that you need to look unreal. It can be anything, and we're not here to judge. Your time and your date is your choice.
Like mine, coming into the new year, is, because I hate the winter and I love the summer, I go, it's 12 weeks till spring. So I have a 12-week goal where I go, right, okay, I've overindulged. I have gone from about 10% body fat to 19% body fat since I met me fella. And I am a show right now. Someone harpooning me. So I've got my 12-week goal that I can break that down to, knowing I'm going to be wearing less clothes in 12 weeks because the sun's coming out.
So point number four, we are going to tell you everything about tracking your progress and staying on track, which is the most important bit.
Yeah.
So where would you start, babe?
Well, with me, straight away, download MyFitnessPal, which is a free online app. It'll work out how many calories your body uses to be able to lose a certain amount of weight, whatever you put in a week. And it'll also help you track your exercise and stuff like that on.
There's a few like little trends in the fitness industry, and one at the moment is tracking your macros. I would say don't do too much too quick. If you've never done any of that type of stuff, I mean, I've been doing it for years and dieting for years, and I still don't really track my macros. The only thing I'd ever look at really is getting my protein up and keeping to a calorie number.
If you don't know what macros are, basically it's your protein, your carbohydrates and your fats.
Yeah, don't focus on that type of stuff too much. A good tip is the more protein you eat, the fuller you stay for longer. So, you know, if you can have a bit of chicken or a boiled egg instead of a packet of salt and vinegar crisp, then that's a better idea, babe.
I'd say the most important thing to be tracking is probably your measurements, or not probably, definitely your measurements and how your clothes fit. Because you'll probably know with most of your clients, after Christmas, you've stopped eating shit. The scales will drop quite quick at the beginning, but it's not necessarily body fat they're losing.
Yeah,
it's
your first week, you're like half a stone down, you feel amazing. Then week two, you're only £2 down, you're fuming. But it's not, it's water weight and it's everything else.
And you've been for a poo.
Don't focus too much on just tracking your weight. My advice would be, focus on tracking your calories and keeping to that calorie deficit. Don't obsess, but keep to that calorie deficit, and everything else will follow in its place. So your weight will come down when it's meant to come down. If it needs to come down, sometimes your weight doesn't even change, but your hips and your waist do, or your clothes change, but your weight doesn't even change. Don't obsess over your weight on the scales.
That moves us on to point five, which is the importance of a good support network. Luke, Harriet's husband, and Connor, my fella, on a Sunday. They're very bad support, aren't they, actually?
Pair of bastards.
Bastards. On a Sunday, I know for a fact Connor, and don't deny it, will want to get Ben and Jerry's and sit in and chill with a 1,600 calorie tub of ice cream. Where Luke will want you to have a KFC.
Anything, and pizza. Do you know what? It's not even that he wants me to have it. It's that he doesn't want me to have it. He wants me to sit there and watch him eat it. And that by the end of the time he's finished eating that pizza, I want him dead. Like, I actually want him dead. I want to kill him.
So how'd you deal with this? I know that's what they're probably thinking, isn't it? And I'd say, finish your fella.
I would say, end your marriage.
Get rid of your mates.
Every single one of them.
Kick them out. There's no room for that shit.
Your nan's got sausage rolls in. Get rid of her as well.
Sell her down the river.
Realistically, I think one thing to do is you've got to do it yourself. Like, no one's going to do that for you. As much as everyone loves to pretend they're all on your side or everyone knows how you feel, if you start in the gym, go to classes or find classes that suit you and make the effort to speak to people. You know, if Karen in work has lost 8 stone and she's got some mates and slimmers and you think, do you know what, that might actually help me, go and speak to people. Sometimes it's hard as adults to push yourself in a way that, you know, might make you feel a bit uncomfortable. We tell our kids to do it, we tell other people to do it, but it's hard to take your own advice and push yourself out of your comfort zone, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. And do you know what, it was good that you were saying about mates and doing stuff together. I've got a group of girls on a Friday night, they all come, it's a group of 10, and 5 of them are all mates.
Oh, that's nice.
Rather than going out and having a drink, they've signed up to this 8-week course where they now come here every week and train, and it stops them from getting on it. Well, say that, and then yeah. I went, where was it? I was out the other week. I went for a tie, and I walked upstairs, and there they all were. Two hours after PT, and they were on the 5th bottle of Prosecco. Still in the gym kit. You disgrace me. So then I think we've only got our final point left, which is have a little patience.
And you want to be more Jason Orange than Chocolate Orange, everyone.
Yeah, get rid of the Chocolate Orange.
I think with the patience thing, it's dead hard to, like, especially people who are in my, you know, our age range, who were like late 20s, early 30s, who were brought up with magazines that said 2-week bikini diet, lose 0.5 stone in 7 days. Beyonce's maple syrup diet. It's the same stuff, like, whereas we all thought these unrealistic timescales are how you're going to change your body. It's not.
Well,
it takes a long time.
Grew up with all that. When I grew up in the 80s, gym was your next door neighbour. That's it.
I wonder what it was that got you in a weight room and a vest.
Probably gym again.
Yeah, so you need to be patient, you know. It takes a long time. It took me 4 or 5 years to lose that 4.5 stone. And that wasn't because I couldn't have done it fast. That probably could have done. But I couldn't be arsed making loads and loads of sacrifices. I still wanted to be able to do stuff with my mate. I still wanted to go for a bevy if I wanted to go for a bevy. I still wanted to have the odd chip butty at my nan's. Like, you have to just be patient, but be realistic for you.
But you've also got to carry on with life. You've got to live as well. You can't deprive yourself, otherwise you're going to resent it and you're not going to follow it through, are you?
No, if you go too strict too quick, the thing is, you're not going to keep going with it.
How many clients have you had? I'd probably say, of all my success rate stories, 99% of them have hit that point quite early on where it isn't happening quick enough for them. You get the meltdown phone call and they're like, Rich, I've only lost 2 pounds, and over the last 3 weeks, it's only 6 pounds I've lost. I'm not seeing any difference. And it's like, babe, just trust the process. It will all fall into place. And then 6 months later, they're 2-3 stone down, and they're looking the best they've ever looked. And they've all had that time where they've doubted themselves, but they've persevered and pushed through.
Write yourself a little note on your phone. Like, write yourself something that tells you to get a grip when you feel like you're having that point. The chances are it's going to be about 3 weeks in or 4 weeks in, or when you're about to come on and your fucking emotions are up the wall, your hormones are up the wall, your chocker works chocker, you date your fella, you feel bloated and you're like, this isn't working. Be patient, like, just tell yourself to get a grip, calm down. By the end of period, you're going to feel loads smaller, get rid of the water retention, and set yourself the target for, you know, see how you feel in 6 months' time.
Yeah, and do you know what? There's a girl who's a PT in Liverpool who posted something up, which makes me I can relate to it, make me laugh. It was, if you do fall off the wagon, she compared it to if you get a flat tyre with your car. She was like, if you get a flat tyre in your car, would you just go and burst every other car tyre and just sit there without a car, or would you fill your tyre up and get back on with the journey? The same as if you fall off the wagon once, is that it? Then you just go to the shop and ruin the whole week binge eating, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I would have got an Uber.
Taxi!
So at the end of each podcast, we're going to do a little question and answer. So Hayley from Anfield has messaged us saying, I want to get fit, but I can't afford a gym membership or classes. What can I do at home? My answer would be YouTube is amazing. I used to do loads of YouTube workouts. A really good one is called Fitness Blender, and they do like 30 minutes and 40 minute home cardio workouts and stuff like that. If you haven't got that time, sometimes, especially if you've just had a baby or something like that, it's hard to find the time to actually do it. A massive thing that I say to all my girls is housework. Set yourself a timer for 45 minutes and absolutely bomb it around the house for 45 minutes and see how much you can get done. It's amazing. Mrs. Hinch, I love you.
Tom's tweeted us. You can tweet us at Girl Gay Gym. So Tom said, I feel intimidated walking into the weight room because everyone's massive and I feel like they're staring at me.
They're on juice, babe.
Oh, no, but Joe, what? I actually know where he's coming from. I've felt like this before. And Joe, what, Tom? All I can say is everyone in that weight room has been exactly where you are. Everyone's at the first day. Everyone's felt intimidated. And to be honest, no one gives a fuck about you. They're all too busy looking at themselves on their own little journey. And what can help? Go in the gym with your mate. If there's someone you know, make sure you match up your times, I'd say. And knowing what you're doing, so book a fitness program in. If you're in a council gym or a big chain gym, isn't it?
Don't be afraid to ask someone for a bit of help while you're in there. If someone looks like they know exactly what they're doing, or they look like they've got good form and stuff, feel free to grab them, because the chances are they won't think you're a dickhead. They'll just be made up.
They'll be made up.
So be like, oh, where are these people?
Well, how many gyms have we worked in? And the ones who you say look the most intimidating, they turn out they're the loveliest the nicest, guys, aren't they? Yeah. And they're just...
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Do not judge a book by its cover. That is right.
Because Richie looks like a really nice person and deep down he's got shite.
You've been listening to Hattie Jeffries, also known as the Gym Bird, and Richie Swan, also known as Richie Swan, on A Girl and a Gay in the Gym. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, rate and review it on Apple Podcasts now to help more people hear about it. And don't forget to follow the socials at Girl Gay Gym on Instagram and Twitter. Cheers.